Why what happened on Threadneedle Street in London today matters on Constitution Avenue in Washington. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Britain's central bank, the Bank of England, this morning announced a new round of stimulus, what's considered a moderate response to the uncertainty surrounding the UK's exit from the European Union. The key interest rate there fell to 0.25%, the lowest since the Bank of England was founded in the 17th century. This boosted stock prices in London, but not so much here. In early trading, the key indexes, the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ, were mixed. But the Bank of England's assessment will be noted with great interest by guardians of U.S. interest rates. Let's bring in from Chicago Diane Swonk, the CEO of DS Economics.
What the Fed is doing is they're looking at the global context in which they want to raise rates, and they want to raise rates in a context where the rest of the world's developed central banks look like either they are further easing policy or on their way to further easing policy, and that creates a lot of tension in the global economy. What the Fed doesn't want to have is to raise rates and have a strengthening dollar as a result of that, and in fact, we know that the sterling went down as a result of this move by the Bank of England.
In fact, the pound is down 1.4% to $1.31 as we speak. Now, of course, we're all watching for less than a day from now. Tomorrow morning, the Bureau of Labor Statistics will release what happened with employment last month. What are you looking for?
Well, I actually think July will be a pretty good month. We're looking for 175,000 with wage gains to hold up. And it should, in theory, give the Fed more reason to raise rates, yet they're going to be pulled in the other direction by what's happening by central banks abroad. And so you're going to see this tension and debate really intensify in the Fed as we head into the Jackson Hole, Wyoming meetings in late August before the September meeting of the FOMC. That's going to be a lot of dissonance.
Jackson Hole, Wyoming is where the world central bankers meet to talk policy and fly fish. Diane Swonk at DS Economics in Chicago, thank you.
Thank you.
For those employment and unemployment reports tomorrow, the Bureau of Labor Statistics counts non-farm payrolls and does a household survey. The jobless rate fell from 10% in 2009 in the teeth of the financial crisis to 4.9% this June. That is a record Democrats are embracing, although Republican Donald Trump has consistently cast doubt on that low unemployment number. He and also his son, Donald Trump Jr., have suggested that the unemployment rate from the BLS is politically manipulated to seem way lower than it is. Marketplace's reporter on the employment beat, Mitchell Hartman, joins us from our bureau at Oregon Public Broadcasting. What has Mr. Trump said?
Well, here's one example. Donald Trump speaking right after he won the New Hampshire primary back in February.
I've seen numbers of 24%. I actually saw a number of 42% unemployment. 42%!
Now, I can't find an economist, liberal or conservative, who gives any credence to the charge, which I might say has been made before, going all the way back to the Eisenhower administration, that these Labor Department unemployment statistics are politically manipulated. Here's Douglas Holtz-Eakin. He served as a senior economist in both Bush administrations.
The notion that somehow they are gamed politically is just nonsense. If political superiors were to attempt to force the BLS to come up with a, quote, right answer, you know, lower the unemployment rate, the career staff would be calling you and leaking this to every whistleblowing outfit under the sun. There's no way that an administration could ever get away with doing that.
Okay, so beyond manipulation, what about the notion that the unemployment rate is actually higher than 4.9%? In fact, much higher.
Now, that is a bit more complicated. You know, we and most media focus on the basic unemployment rate. It's called the U3. And it is now below 5%. It counts as unemployed anyone who's looked for work in the last 4 weeks and not found a job. But the broadest measure from the government, it's called the U6. By that, the unemployment rate is more than double at 9.6%. Now, that includes people who are discouraged. They haven't looked for a job in a while. It includes people who are working part-time and can't find a full-time job. But, you know, look, 25%, 42% unemployment, as Donald Trump has claimed may be the real unemployment rate, there's just no way to get to that kind of a number using government statistics. However, I will say, you know, economists understand why people might get the impression that unemployment's worse than the government says. Here's Lawrence Katz at Harvard.
The unemployment rate has improved dramatically in recent years, yet many people seem to feel the economy is not performing as well as it can.
And Kat says, you know, for that feeling that things are much worse, you can blame very slow wage growth, people unable to find full-time jobs, and people still being unemployed for a long time when they get laid off.
All right. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman, thank you for doing that.
You're welcome, David.
This morning, Viacom reported better than expected profits for the quarter, but the stock is down 2.25%. There are questions over 93-year-old Chairman Sumner Redstone's mental capacity, a battle over board membership, a granddaughter claiming she's been cheated out of $6 million inheritance. Ashley Milne-Tite has more.
The mess Viacom is embroiled in couldn't come at a worse time for a traditional media company grappling with a new era. Mark Robichaux is editorial director of Multichannel News.
All of these issues that are swirling with the family drama are happening at a time when the company is in a bit of a precarious position.
He says think about one of its flagship channels, MTV. Its ratings are falling. Young audiences now have tons of digital brands to choose from. He says there won't be any clarity on MTV's future or anything else until the soap opera has played itself out. Alan Cohen is a leadership professor at Babson College. He says you could have seen this coming. Sumner Redstone always was an old-school titan.
It was predictable that he would end up with all kinds of complications around him, family aside, because he could never let go.
There may be some clarity later this year. The board members Redstone is trying to oust will have their case heard in court in the fall. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
And fantasy sports betting is legal again in New York State. A new law came into effect covering wagering on imaginary teams using real statistics that deemed, with some contortions, this a game of skill, not chance. The companies DraftKings and FanDuel are now gearing up for the NFL season. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.